Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to brotherlance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
So if you're noticing a theme, the majority of the work based around that's happening on Sabbath is the care of others. Right. So when we fail at Sabbath or we do something we know we're not supposed to, don't wallow in it. Don't have a big guilt trip. Just let it go and move forward, because that's what happens. Yeah. You know, because the devil will sit there and pin you down with it and make you break the rest of the Sabbath in like self-pity and grief. And right. God doesn't want that. He wants you to say, okay, yeah, I messed up. I'm correcting that mistake. We're moving forward now. We're done with that. And it's gone, and that we're going to have a good Sabbath.
When you dwell on it, that's when the devil's like, yes, I won.
Right, right.
BrotherLance.com.
Dearly Father, thank you so much for being with us. Sorry, life can be crazy and busy and all kinds of technical issues, but you're getting us through it, so we thank you for that. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for everybody who's able to join today. Thank you for April being in town today and actually being here at the Bible study. Thank you for taking care of us. Give us your Holy Spirit. Guide us in all your truth and help us have a joyful, wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Okay. So today we're talking about how to joyfully keep the Sabbath. Part one, the do list. All right. Before, I'm just interested. I just want to know. And so, April, we'll start with you. What do you think of Sabbath, and what have you learned briefly so far?
Well, between her and Adam, Angel and Adam, I pretty much most of what you have in here already, but there were a few things that kind of, like, got me, and I was like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, just Sabbath in general, not how to keep it, but like Sabbath in general.
Well, okay, I grew up as Pentecostal, so I knew of the Sabbath.
Right.
But nobody explained to me that you're supposed to keep the Sabbath.
Right.
They didn't teach that in our church.
No. Right.
And they didn't teach it in my church growing up. And it was a four-square gospel church, basically. So right. I was like,
three squares.
Right? We missed the four squares.
We've lost the fourth square of the gospel.
But they taught that you're supposed to keep it, but not how to keep it.
Right, what to do.
Or what and what true meaning behind
it. Awesome. Yeah. How about you, Angel?
Pretty much the same way when we were growing up. We weren't taught how to keep it. Dad and Mom were never taught how to keep it. We always figured it was Sunday, but we weren't. Dad has a better story about keeping the Sabbath, how he was taught.
Right. Don't shoot guns.
Yeah, I'll share that with you in a minute. And then at the same time, I never thought twice about it.
Right.
I never thought that, you know, that it was a special day to keep it holy. We're excited to go to church and be with our church family. Mm-hmm. And we'd go out to lunch with our church family, or they'd come over to our house. We always had Mom cooked on Sundays.
Right.
And so it was a celebration between families and church, but we didn't think twice about it.
How about you, Daniel?
We were just taught that Sunday was the Sabbath.
Right.
And there's a lot of things we couldn't do on that day.
Right.
But we didn't have teaching that they have like they have today.
Praise God that we have it this now, huh? How about you, Adam? What do you think? Now that you're taking a drink, I'll ask you at the worst possible moment.
Right? What was the question?
What do you think about the Sabbath?
I tell you what, it's so difficult to change your process of days going from a Sunday to a Saturday when generally, like Saturday, I'm used to, okay, it's work continuously.
Right.
And just changing the lifestyle in general, just...
It's tough.
And then changing what you do, I mean, I'm glad for it, don't get me wrong.
No, believe me, I went through it too. Everybody does.
It's definitely a change in the mindset, because you just got to continuously reiterate to yourself, you can't do that.
Right. No, bad Adam.
Right.
How about you, Joanna?
It's just something that I didn't really grow up with.
Right.
They didn't really talk about it much. And I know I've had a pastor say that, well, it's whatever day you choose.
Yeah, who?
Or that it's Sunday is Sabbath and stuff. And it is a a learning curve.
A kick in the pants.
Even last Saturday, I screwed up and I like ordered cat litter on Amazon, and I'm like. Joanna! As soon as I, like, bought it, I'm like, Joanna!
It's Mark of the Beast cat litter. See, now the cat litter won't clump right.
Don't say that, because this is
yeah.
really good cat litter
short.
How about you?
Don't curse it.
I know, right? How about you, Sarah?
Well, I guess I'm walking on a crooked path I'm trying to make straight.
Right. It's not easy at first, for sure. I don't know if Chad can answer, but Chad, do you want to remain quiet since you're at work?
No, I'll chime in real quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
With the door closed, so I was raised a little different. Obviously, the Sabbath is the Lord's Day, but we also, if work needed to get done, we worked.
Right.
Jesus, he healed, right?
Right.
On the Sabbath.
Right.
And then whenever folks called him out on it, he said, hey, I forget the exact words, but basically if your lamb falls in the pit, you know,
right.
who's not going to go get it, you know? So, I mean,
you
still take care of what you need to take care of. So it's, you're not going to go to the point of, you know, I can only walk 5 steps on that day.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, still take care of what you need to get done, your responsibilities, but also, you know, know that it is the Lord's Day, and, you know, praise Him.
Right. And so a lot of people like me, when I first found out that Sunday wasn't Sabbath, that Saturday was actually Sabbath and has always been on Saturday, that wasn't too hard for me because I was young and my life pretty much was crazy and horrible anyways. And so I took to it rather quickly. You know, it wasn't a big deal for me. Now I my girlfriends and friends and stuff like that, none of them really took to me changing my lifestyle all that well. And then my mom didn't like it when she was like, you need to do dishes. And I was like, well, it's the Sabbath, I'm not doing dishes. So that was a conundrum. But honor your father and mother, but they can't make you sin. So there you go. So anyways, we'll start. Okay, so how to joyfully keep the Sabbath, part one. So I'm going to read this and I'll talk. It says, the do list. How to joyfully keep the Sabbath. Well, it's very easy. The Sabbath is not and should not become a burden. The Sabbath relieves man of the burdens of life and frees us to enjoy our Father God completely. I set this study up a little differently as there is a wonderful amount of content. So, in order to make it easier to understand on how to keep the Sabbath, I didn't present entire verses, just the reference point. This way they can be quickly read and then referenced when desired. In this format, we can quickly know how to keep the Sabbath in the fastest way possible. And so, a lot of people, when they think about the commandments and God and stuff, they think of like this big, giant burden of restrictions that they can't have fun. Like they're a kid being told you can't play in the mud, right? But I don't see the law that way because, as we've learned before, the law represents God's character and it represents how to love your neighbor, how to love God, you know. And to me, they're wonderful guidelines and bounds for my life to ensure I have the most amount of happiness and the most amount of joy and to prevent problems from occurring. Right? Okay. And so that's the way this study is set up, that like the Sabbath is not like this bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. The commandments are too, you know? And so to my perspective is thank you, God, for the law, because I need it. Because as Paul said, I had not known adultery or covet and stuff if the law had not told me that I was on the wrong path. And so I don't find it a burden. But anyways, okay. Quick Sabbath facts. Did you know that out of the 39 Old Testament books, there are 93 Bible verses mentioning the Sabbath? Of the 27 New Testament books, there are 62 verses that mention the Sabbath. That averages out to 2.38 references per book in the Old Testament and 2.29 references per book in the New Testament. Yet the New Testament gets the win as it has the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus. Boom, spike the football. There we go. Okay, so basic guidelines. So this is like, if people want to know how to keep the Sabbath, this is like my short, brief list of like guidelines, okay? If it can wait till after Sabbath, it should. That's pretty simple. Whatever you do, let it be focused on God and His ways. Number three, refrain from speaking of which does not glorify or involve God. In other words, Sabbath is not a day meant to sit around and talk politics and stuff like that. You know, it's to refocus the mind. Number four, don't work or cause other people to work on your behalf within your gates. We'll get into that later. Number five, enjoy the freedom of the Sabbath day to reconnect with God and the family. Okay, easy enough. So, page two at the top, this is our list of, yes, you can. Everybody's like, you can't do this on a Sabbath. So I took it a different way. These are the things the Bible tells us, yeah, you can do that, okay? Yeah. So we're going to look at all the wonderful things the Bible says you can do on Sabbath. And so to Chad's point earlier, Jesus really set straight a lot of the misconceptions the people had about Sabbath. You know, and the religious leaders got ultra religious, you know, and we've talked about in the past where they would keep the law of Moses and still break the Sabbath. So they were, you know, honoring Moses over God, you know, the royal law versus sacrificial law. And so when Jesus was on here, one of the number one things they wanted to kill him for is how he kept the Sabbath, right? Because they were so misguided. So a lot of what we're about to read is Jesus setting them straight and the disciples setting them straight. So, okay, so here we go. Yes, you can. Jesus shows us how to keep the Sabbath. He said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Luke 6:5. Okay. The following are examples given to us by Jesus. These permissible activities presented by Jesus were in opposition to what the religious leaders of the day said was okay. After you will find that these corrective lessons by Jesus made the leaders mad. Really mad. They wanted to kill him. So much so they wanted to kill him. Oh, there we go. For breaking the Sabbath, they failed to understand the spirit of the law and focused on the letter of the law. The Sabbath is empowered by God to relieve burdens from mankind, not add them. This ability is instilled into the Sabbath so we can focus on God in worshipful awe. The following examples of permissible activities free us from the legalistic dictates of the religious spirit. Then in part two, we'll cover the burden breakers, the prohibitive activities that bring burden into the Sabbath. In all this, be mindful that the power of the Sabbath is to relieve the burdens of life for everyone small and great. Okay, so here's our first verse. It says, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2:27. Okay, as we explore how to keep the Sabbath, there is no better example than Jesus. We see in his actions the true spirit of Sabbath keeping. Often, people tend to look at the Sabbath as a list of don'ts. Instead of being freed from the burden of life, here we see that the Sabbath empowers us to actually do many wonderful things. All right. Any questions before we go?
We're going to get into this one later.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
there. Wait, I'll hold it.
Okay. Wait, is it basic guidelines? The one we just read? You can go ahead and ask me.
It's about the...
Oh, within your gates. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll just wait.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yes, we can. Pick food. Jesus picked and ate food in the field on the Sabbath day to meet their needs for the moment. He didn't gather for later. So, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the grain fields. His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Matthew 12:1. So, like, you know, like for in our house, we'll cook our meals if we have to on the Sabbath. And when you have kids, it's inevitable. But, like, we won't, like, bake for the next day. Like, we'll make whatever we need for the moment, but we won't make for the week. You know, in other words, we're hooking up a pizza, then we're not going to make three for next night's dinner and that kind of stuff, you know. And that's permissible. And another reason why Jesus didn't gather in the fields, because it was against the law, you know, you could go into your neighbor's field if you were hungry and pluck and eat, but you could not gather and bring out. And that's how God's way of taking care of the poor. Yeah, and so now on this Bible study, there's more Bible verses there, like Matthew 12:1-8, Mark 2:23-28, and Luke 6:1-5. I'm going to read them because this will also be a podcast. I'm not going to read the verses. I'm just going to read the references for people that want to go and look deeper, okay? So gathering your food, picking your food, eating your food, that kind of stuff. If you have a garden, you go out and grab something for your food, that's fine. God's cool with that. If you go, like, harvest your field on Sabbath, not good. That's missing the point. You got 6 days, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. Okay, so healing. Jesus teaches us that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, like helping the injured or needy, human or animal. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him? He said to them, what man is there who among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, won't he grab it onto it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Matthew 12:10-12. And I'll just read a couple of these. Matthew 12:9-15. Mark 3:1-5, Mark 6:2, and a bunch of others. So healing, of course. That's why a lot of people who keep the Sabbath still, as nurses and doctors, still work. You know, and there's actually Sabbath-keeping hospitals where they don't pay them to be there on the Sabbath. They just pay them really well for the rest of the week. you know, and that way they're there. And so a lot of times you find the same thing in the military, you'll find the same thing as police, you know, because, you know, some of these professions, you like someone's mowing down people with a shotgun, you're, oh, I'm sorry, it's a Sabbath, we can't send out help. You know, yeah, it's ridiculous. So there's some professions, even though that, you know, it seems like they're working is permissible, like doctors, and a lot of times police, people feel okay. To me, it's a personal conviction. If God says gives you liberty in those situations, then that's between you and God. Mm-hmm. I personally did not join the military because of it, because I didn't want to do boot camp on Sabbath. You know, and so that's why, because I was thinking about joining the military when I was 16, you know, and so, but I started keeping Sabbath when I was 16, so there you go. Any questions?
What? I'm just thinking jokes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so we got that one. So, go to church. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He entered, as was his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood to read. Luke 4:16. Okay, so he went to read, but I'm going to read the next one because they go together. Teaching. We're on page 3 there in the middle. Teaching. Jesus taught people about God on the Sabbath. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Mark 1:21, Mark 6:2, Luke 4:31-32, and so on. And so ministers, if you look in the Old Testament, priests still sacrificed on Sabbath. They had to. They still made fires on the Sabbath. They had to for the offerings. They still did their priestly duty. So as a minister, you have, like me, I do most of these studies, the majority of the study on Sabbath, right? But I won't edit video. And so as ministers and stuff, you have like Jesus walked around and healed, taught, and do these things. So like the person who's not a minister will actually get a more restful Sabbath than a minister will, you know, because their duties is to be the, you know, workmen for God and the ministries and stuff. And so like when I was doing youth ministry and doing stuff at the church, we'd get there early, get things set up, open up the church. You know, people would leave, you'd clean to get stuff for the next service. You know how it is. And so, like, so there's these certain activities that God still finds permissible because it's all at the goal of helping people bridge the gap with Him. Mm-hmm. So, but, like, would I go out and mow the churchyard? No, not even a slightly bit. No, that can wait. That's not even necessary. You know, okay, we got high grass. Big deal. Okay, you know, praise God for high grass.
The deer will love it.
Right, right, right. Okay, any questions? All right. Spiritual warfare. Jesus engages in spiritual warfare and casts out demons on the Sabbath. Immediately they were in the synagogue. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsing and crying with a loud voice, "Come out of him." Mark 1:25-26. Mark 1:23-27 and Luke 4:33-36. So spiritual warfare is always permissible, right? Especially when you're freeing people of demonic activity and stuff. So, you know, we should never... Basically, as a Christian, when it comes to spiritual side of things, we never take a break, right? You know, Sabbath magnifies those spiritual activities, okay? Okay, go to a friend's house for fellowship and food. Jesus goes for visits to other people's houses to eat on the Sabbath. When we went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on a Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him, Luke 14:1, right? And so Jesus went and... You had a question, I could see it.
I did, because I've thought about this. There's been times where Joy will ask me, "Do you want to come over and visit for a while?" But I know our conversations right. aren't going to go Sabbath talking and glorifying God, even right. though they proclaim to be Christians.
Right.
It's like they don't understand this whole
right.
keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Right. Well, it's the thing. It's like if either you can be influence or you can be the influence, and you have to determine which the situation will be. If you can feel like you can be the influence and steer things towards God and, you know, communing with Him and helping other people do so, like Jesus definitely could, you know, then, yeah. But if you don't feel like, you know, like this is not going to be beneficial,
yeah,
we're going to, right, yeah. So then I would stay away from that, right. And so, yeah, I would, you know, free myself of that burden and stay away, you know. And so, but again, this isn't like, you know, getting together to talk about the game and stuff, you know.
Right.
And so we're still trying to keep God focused. And as we talked previously, Sabbath is a fast of time. We're fasting from our own desires on the Sabbath day to give it to God, you know. And so that's what we're doing with our time.
I feel like personally that day has to be separated from everything else. I know they said to be with your family and friends, which is if that's the only day you have to do it, yes. But since I have the leisure not I have to have that one day of focus. Or sometimes right. I just want to turn off the phone and have no communication with
anybody. Disconnect, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because it takes a while to sit and hear that still small voice.
Right.
And to be disciplined to listen to that still small voice with all that's going on in this world.
Right.
God may have something to tell us, and yet we're so busy with cell phones and this and that and running everywhere. It's like, I've been trying to talk to you for like a month now.
I've been waiting.
Yeah, I have to discipline myself.
Right.
I have to say, okay, and I'm not good at it. I used to be even better, but I'm not.
It's tough because like learning how to keep Sabbath and stop doing the things you know you're not supposed to be doing and realigning yourself is tough. I went through everybody who learns how to keep Sabbath, you know, and I think God gives us grace for that because our heart's inclined to do the right thing. We stumble, we fall, but we're still walking in the right direction, you know, and so, but we just don't want to take advantage of that grace, you know. And so for like me and Melissa, it's really hard. We got four kids. It like never stops, you know. I mean, kids don't stop needing things. On Sabbath, I'm going to put you in a closet, you know. We'll let you know when it's over, you know.
Well, it's funny that she said it that way because, like, just needing that time to, like, regroup yourself. Like,
right.
The last couple of Saturdays, I haven't gone over to Joanna and Adams because I'm like, I feel like I need to find me in Christ again.
Right.
Or find Christ in me again, whatever you want to say it, because I'm like, my whole year, this whole year has been insane for me. And I feel so lost.
Right.
Or I have, you know. And so the last couple of Saturdays, I've just taken it for me and I play my praise and worship music and just sit. And, you know, sometimes I just sit on the couch and just lay there.
Contemplate.
And listen. No, right. I just listen to the lyrics, the music. And sometimes I'll just find myself just bawling.
Right. Okay. Processing life.
Yes.
Right.
So.
Right. Now, I absolutely, it's my wife's favorite day. It's my daughter. She's 11. Can you believe it? It's her favorite day. You know, and even as an 11-year-old, she loves Sabbath above all days. And so, like, even in, like, in my house, kind of a little side tangent, like, even, like, if I ground my kids or are they get in trouble, they're never on trouble on Sabbath. Like, you know, and so, and I try not to spank my kids on Sabbath. I try to give them the same break. You know,
we needed to celebrate Sabbath when I was
she said, we need to celebrate Sabbath when they were their kids. But, and that way, so my daughter, she's 11, so she knows that Sabbath is a break from life. It's even being a break from being disciplined. You know, it's a break that burden, you know, and so she can enjoy God and, you know, that kind of stuff and not have this worldly burden that we have now. You know, it's tough.
So you think that there needs to be a
break from discipline? Well, see, not discipline. So if you heard what I said, I try not to spank them on Sabbath. And so, but like if she's being punished, like if I ground her, like you're grounded for 2 weeks, she would not be grounded on Sabbath. Because one, it's a burden for me and Melissa to sit there and try to always enforce that burden. But two, it's also like for her, you know, because often what we grind her from is like electronics and stuff. Well, on Sabbath, she's allowed to watch Christian movies, Christian shows, that kind of stuff, and do anything that involves Christ and the Bible. And so we don't want to take that from her on Sabbath. Like, I can't listen to my CD player, you know, MP3s. I can't watch Christian movies and stuff like that. Yeah, and so we don't do that to her on Sabbath. And then if she gets in trouble on Sabbath, I will try to discipline her after Sabbath. Like, I'll tell you, listen, this is bad. You're in trouble, but we'll deal with it after Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You know, if it can be dealt with. You see what I'm saying?
I'd be sweating it the whole day.
Right, does that make sense? Right.
Don't do work. What about hobbies?
So, yes.
A fine line. If you're not getting, you know, necessarily monetary gain or anything like that, and stuff like that, but like a hobby that you want to do, but.
Good question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good question. So there's a verse that we're going to cover. It says, "If you refrain from doing your pleasure on my Sabbath day." Right? And speaking your words. In other words, there's things that God gives us 6 days a week to do. Right? And so the seventh, like I don't play video games. I have Christian video games and I don't play those because I play video games 6 days a week and I need to be able to focus on God and my studies and my family and, you know, and the things that are mightily important. And so on Sabbath, no, I don't play video games. I wouldn't go hunting. I wouldn't do any of these things that can wait one day. you know, and that's a real hard thing to learn at first, because like I used to love OU football, and so not watching OU football on Sabbath was a hard thing for me. And then thank God now we have TiVo, and back then I had a VCR, I'd record it, but you know, so it's tough. But yeah, so God specifically says, and we'll get to the verse, that, you know, does not do your pleasures, not the things that you find like sidetrack enjoyments type stuff, like hobbies. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and so so we don't discipline the same way on Sabbath. We will still correct our children. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to let them destroy the house, you know. But at the same time, we try to keep it at a level that does not bring a burden, especially because you know how it is. When you have four kids and, like, you're bringing the house down on everyone because everybody's messing up, it totally destroys the peace and the happiness of the day. So, you know, you make as much corrective action as necessary to remediate the situation, but take care of it when you can after the Sabbath, and that way mom's happy, kids are happy, we can move on with life for a little bit, you know. So anyways, okay, so gathering your immediate belongings. We're at the top of page 4, and so it says, Jesus instructs that it is okay to carry your belongings with you on Sabbath, if immediately necessary, like carrying your Bible, potluck dishes, baby bags, etc., the possessions you need for the day. Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your mat and walk." Immediately the man was made well and took up his mat and walked. Now it was the Sabbath day on that day. So the Jews said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful you to carry the mat." John 5:8-10, and the whole thing is John 5:1-14. And so what we have here is Jesus obviously knows this man didn't have a lot of possessions. And if he would have left a mat, he would have lost his mat, you know, because it would have been gone. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for me, like, whatever you need, especially when you have kids, man, you have so much stuff. It's like you're moving your entire house to go somewhere. And so, you know, but the problem is like, for me, that's why. Okay, so first of all, there's something called Preparation Day, which is Thursday. And so, and that starts at Thursday night at sundown to Friday night. So Thursday night into Friday, that's your day to prepare, to do whatever you need to do to get ready for Sabbath, to take care of your responsibilities. So, like, I would get up and go to church and bring potluck and Bibles and stuff, but I wouldn't go and start loading the car for Sunday, you know, because that's you're missing the point. The point is to get rid of the burden, stop planning for life, just enjoy God and do as little as humanly possible to just make it through the day, you know. And so, like, when we were at church, and we set up for potluck, and we have to clean up after potluck because the next church service was coming, you know, and stuff. So there is work involved in that, you know, but it's work based on service to others and their needs to help them walk with God, have a good church service, and stuff like that. And same with your kids, you know, you have to carry the baby bag and change diapers, and, you know, your baby's going to smear poo all over the wall. You're not going to clean it. No, yeah, you're going to clean it. That's disgusting, right? You know, and so, like, I mean, you got to have common sense. It's not like, you know, you're going to let, like, the house burn and you're not going to get a water hose. And so, right, sorry. But at the same time, I'm not going to shampoo the carpets, you know. I'd clean up the mess and wait, you know. And so, like, for us, after dinner, we don't touch a thing. We just leave it until after Sabbath. And then when Sabbath is over and me and Melissa spend time together, she goes to bed, I'll clean the house. And then I'll go to bed, you know. And so in reality, you don't ever have a whole day you're not doing anything, because Sabbath ends at night. Right. And then you have all evening to do whatever you need to do.
Right.
Right. And so you're never really without that day.
Right.
You know, you're without a period of time.
I find that once it gets towards it, it's like, oh, man, I need two more days.
Two more Sabbaths.
To get into the Sabbath, to go, okay, clear your mind. I know you want to do a load of clothes, you're not going to do, because we're all so wound to do our chores and to do that.
Oh, life never stops.
Yeah, right. It's like you're fighting what you do to tell yourself, no, you don't have to. So once I get out of that, then it's time for the Sabbath to be over with. It's like, Lord, I'm sorry, I spent maybe 4 hours just reading your word today. I'm sorry. This should have been a whole day for you.
You have to use the preparation day as pre-Sabbath.
Yeah.
Awesome. Adam and Joanna, you got anything you want to say? You've been quiet back there.
George is listening.
Okay. How about you, Sarah? Anything?
No.
Okay, cool. So let's take a quick look at the disciples of Jesus after his resurrection. Okay, the disciples of Jesus can also give us examples on how to keep the Sabbath. Okay, the disciples still gathered on the Sabbath, but they were passing on from Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Acts 13:14. And the next one, the disciples preached on the Sabbath. Paul, as was his custom, went into them and for 3 days reasoned with them from the scriptures. Acts 17:2, 13:44, 17:1-3, and 10:4. And so they would still go to church. They would travel to church. They would go and teach at church. They would minister for the Lord. So if you're noticing a theme, the majority of the work based around that's happening on Sabbath is the care of others. Right.
The word reasoned here, is that teaching?
Yes, reason, sorry. Yeah, teaching. Reasoned is teaching. And so that is a huge guideline. So, you know, you're making your kids food, you're changing diapers, you're taking care of people at church, you're working at the door as a deacon, you're sending people, you're moving church. All this stuff is based around facilitating people's fellowship and well-being. Mm-hmm. These are our guidelines, okay? This has nothing to do with scoping your rifle and, like, you know, getting your chess pieces polished and, you know, all this fun stuff that we like to do, you know, or defragging your computer. All that can wait. You know, I caught myself the other day because it was Sabbath, and I think someone was trying to hack into my computer. And so I couldn't figure out what's going on. This thing crashed. It's a brand new computer. It shouldn't have crashed. Whoa. And so I went in into the administrator side to see what happened, and somebody somehow turned the radio side of this on and off. Right. And so, like, I'm totally losing. I'm like, and I'm trying to do Bible studies, but all of a sudden I go into like somebody's destroying my computer. I have to stop it mode. And then, but halfway into that, I caught myself like, Lance, what are you doing? And God gave me the good idea. I just disabled the modem completely. And so nobody could access it and moved on about the day. But see, I got so caught up in the moment that I'm like trying to prevent whoever's trying to get onto my computer, you know. And you can go in and under administrative tools and see who's doing what. Mm-hmm. And I know how to do that. So I did that. I'm like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. You know, and why are they, you know, it's just people. But so it's easy to get like so sidetracked and caught off in a moment where you're doing something that you don't even realize that you even got into it. And that's the point where we just say, sorry, God. And that's what I did. I repent. I don't mean to be doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, thanks for the good idea. And I moved on with my day, you know, because mm-hmm. He's faithful and just to forgive us. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to be absolute. Mm-hmm. You know, we try, you know, and that's the goal. God just wants a heart of obedience saying, God, I want to do it your way. And so when we fail at Sabbath or we do something we know we're not supposed to, don't wallow in it. Don't have a big guilt trip. Just let it go and move forward, because that's what happens, you know, because the devil will sit there and pin you down with it, mm-hmm. and make you break the rest of the Sabbath in like self-pity and grief and shame. Right. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want that. He wants you to just say, okay, yeah, I messed up. I'm correcting that mistake. We're moving forward now. We're done with that. And it's gone, and that we're going to have a good Sabbath.
When you dwell on it, that's when the devil's like, yes, I won.
Right. Because who's perfect? None of us are perfect.
Right.
You know, and so we try. We want to do what pleases God, but we all, you know, fail from time to time, you know, and when there's tons of stuff to learn. So, next part. On Sabbath, they traveled outside of the city to enjoy the countryside and pray, also known as nature walks. It says, on the Sabbath day, we went outside of the city by Riverside, where supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Acts 16:13. And all the way to 15 if you want. And so they went out of city. So back in the day, there was a thing called a Sabbath day's journey. It wasn't even biblical. It was a custom. And you weren't allowed to go so many steps on Sabbath.
I looked that up. In Hebrew, it's like a quarter of a mile.
Right.
I'm like, so I can walk down to the end of my block for my exercise, but I couldn't walk back. I
only walk here
now. I
only walk halfway. And then
right. And so a lot of people on Sabbath find it a wonderful, beautiful thing, just like Jesus did, to go out into the country, spend time with God, get away, and focus. So a lot of people are like, well, isn't that breaking the Sabbath? Well, if your intent of being there is to spend time with God, no. If your intent is to go out and ride ATVs, then yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Loves to talk to me on my ATV.
I heard a guy said, you know, they say money doesn't buy happiness. And he says, you never see someone frowning on a Sea-Doo. Yeah. Oh, I was like, well, you got a point there.
Right? Mm. Oh, good grief.
But so anyways. All right. So the do list. Any questions before we move forward? Sarah, any questions?
No, but I have some points to make.
Okay, Daniel has some points to make. Go ahead, Daniel.
A lot of people work Monday through Friday. and they have Saturday and Sunday off.
Right.
And that's when they, a lot of people, especially unsaved, they do work to get caught up on the things they can't do during the week.
Right.
So you have to get accustomed to treat the Sabbath as the Sabbath.
Right.
And like your children are young, and it's so much easier to teach them as they're young. When they get older,
right,
it won't be any problem.
Right.
I figure that's what we do.
Right. That's how we do life. Yeah. Yeah. Any other points?
No.
Oh, that's a good, good point. Yeah, it's a good point, Daniel. So, Adam, Joanna, did you hear what he said, Sarah?
Yeah, I couldn't understand him fully.
He's basically saying that when you get older, it's really hard to learn to keep Sabbath because you basically use Saturday and Sunday to get caught up on your chores around the house and things you can't do during the week. But if you raise your kids up in it, it's easier for them to grow up in it and not have that battle. And so, like all of us, I wasn't raised in it. None of you guys were raised in it, you know. And so all of us, there's this weird growth period where it feels like a sense of loss, you know, and that you're giving up things you're used to doing, you know, to try to exchange for something that will please God and provide a bigger blessing. And so what we find is we'll find ourselves in this weird limbo where nothing feels right. Like, I feel bad doing this, but I don't feel the full blessing of this yet. You know, and that's the point where we have to be like on our exodus and just leave Egypt and keep marching to the promised land and just trust it's gonna be worth it. We're gonna be okay.
I'm not fond of those plagues. So I'm not.
Right. And so, you know, and that's why I never bust any of y'all's chops about things that you might be doing on Sabbath. I'm trying to help encourage you. But at the same time, I understand totally, having gone through it myself, that it's a huge learning curve, you know, and it's a process, you know, but as long as the process is occurring, then we're good. You know, and then you guys are good because God's working in your heart and live up to the light you've been shown. But like me and Sarah talked, don't give up the ground that you have gained. If God has shown you something, don't go backwards on it. You might still fail in some areas, but don't walk backwards in whatever you do. You know, don't go back down the ladder. Keep climbing up, okay? All right. Okay, sorry, guys. Sidebars are fun. Okay, let's go. We'll see if we can't rock through this. The do list. The Sabbath is full of positive and empowering commands to help break down the burdens and enhancements our enjoyment of the Sabbath. As we learn how to keep the Sabbath, let us remember that we are not deprived of anything at all, yet being empowered to the fullest so we can enjoy God's presence. Okay, here we go. Do remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 28. That means you do not do profane things or things that take the blessing away from the Sabbath. It says, do observe the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as Yahweh your God commanded you. Deuteronomy 5:12. Okay? And so we're going to keep going, kind of gather some ground here. Do remember that God saved you out of slavery to the world. This is interesting because in Exodus, it talks about God's creation. In Deuteronomy, it talks about being saved from the world or saved from Egypt or spiritual Egypt. And it says, and thou hast remembered that a servant that has been in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah thy God is bringing thee out thence by a strong hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, hath Jehovah thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Right? Yeah. And so, Sabbath reminds us we have been saved, set free, set apart, taken out of the world, as we've learned. It's a holy convocation, a calling out, mm-hmm. right? And so, we're called out from the ways of the world into God's ways. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so, we have to remember that there is going to be a difference. If your Sabbath looks nothing different than your Sunday, that's a problem. Yep. You know? And so, you obviously are having some issue on your Sabbath. You know? Because the Sabbath is so special, so holy, and so profound. It will be different. Just deal with that part because it's going to be different. But it will be more awesomer. You'll have more blessings and God will be with you in a special way. Okay? So, do your work in 6 days. You shall labor 6 days and do all your work. Exodus 29. That's a pretty affirmative command to do work 6 days. So, everybody's like, don't work on Sabbath. But the affirmative command there is work 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. Right? God tells you, work 6 days a week. You can still have a Sunday and have some time off. But he said, anything you do, you're going to upholster your car, you're going to work on a deck, you're going to do these things, do them 6 days a week. I give you 6 days. God could have said, do all your work on one day, give me six. He didn't. He was very nice. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll take one, you can have six. That's very giving. Sharing is caring. You know.
Created us. You know,
right.
We're made to serve him.
Yes.
You know.
Rock on, right. Okay, so do protect the blessing placed on the Sabbath. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus 20:11. So when you break Sabbath, you are breaking the blessing that made it sacred and holy and separated, right? And so that can be repaired. That breach can be repaired by instant repentance and realignment with God. But if we spend the whole Sabbath breaking the Sabbath, then you're just torpedoing God's special day. I mean, so like nuke button, you know? And so God has grace for us if we fail, but he will bless us. Okay, do what is pleasing in God's sight, right? It says, for says Jehovah to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, Isaiah 56:4, right? So do that which is pleasing in God's sight.
What is eunuchs?
Eunuchs are, those are, they're...
Guys have been snipped.
They have no, they have no danglies. they have been set aside. to the great offing. So she asked, what does eunuchs mean? So like that's what that means. Okay. All right. Do join with God and love God in his name, right? Reverse. Do what's pleasing in God's sight. So do the things that you know will put a smile on God's face. Now, our understanding may vary in this area, but at least start with this thought in your mind. Does this please God? Yes. If you just do that, we might disagree on what pleases God, but that will help train our minds to realign ourselves with God, right? Mm-hmm. So just say, does this please God? Would this be pleasing to the Lord? You know, and if we can keep that thought in the front of our minds, I think the Holy Spirit will answer a lot of those questions for us, right? And so, right. Easy enough. So just ask yourself, does this please God?
To be fair, give him time to answer.
Right. Yes. It's like, God, if you don't make the sun go dark in 3 seconds, I'll take that as a yes. 1, 2, 3. Good. We're gone. Okay. So do join with God, love God, and his name. Also, the foreigner who joins themselves to Yahweh to serve him, to love Yahweh's name, to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath for profaning it, and holds fast my covenant. Isaiah 56:6, right? So we're joining, we're partnering, we're getting on God's team, we're going in the same direction as our Creator. Okay? Next one. Do be joyful in God's house of prayer. Sabbath is a joyous, happy day. Don't be a furmudgeon and sit there and not be happy on Sabbath. Right? I love furmudgeon. Furmudgeon's fun. All right. So, do be joyful in God's house of prayer. I will bring these to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be sacred to me on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Right? Right, and so we are the temple of God now, right? So God wants a joyous house of prayer. And the Bible says we now offer spiritual sacrifices, right? And that spiritual sacrifice is obedience is better than sacrifice, so we obey. So he wants a happy, joyous, fun-filled Sabbath, right, to be with God, okay? And so here, next one, do incline your ear to the Lord and receive instruction. On the Sabbath day, they didn't turn their ear, but made their neck stiff that they might not hear and might not receive instruction. Jeremiah 17:22-23, if you want the full thing. So we have to incline our ear to God. Say, God, does this please you? Is this good? We good? We're good? Okay. We'll do that. Go ahead.
I had to look this one up. Like, I read the whole thing. Because is it saying like they didn't?
Yeah, they didn't.
They refused to...
Incline
and focus on God. That
right.
That's what that's saying.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happened. They became a stiff neck. I love that. It's like the ears over here, and they became a stiff. Oh, I ain't gonna turn my head. It ain't gonna happen. You know. And so, you know. And so we have to. You know, it's really, if we look at the Sabbath, what's the best way to do this? If we look at the Sabbath day and do it this way, God, what do you want me to do today? Not have plans. But what is it you would have me do?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Instead of like, God, is this okay? Is that okay? You know, we could be just like, God, tell me what you want me to do. Where are we going today? What's happening?
Yeah.
You know? Instead of telling God our plans, we can flip the script. Okay, God, what are your plans?
Yeah.
Right? And then that way we won't ever get in trouble because God's like, do this or don't do that. And then we're good. You know?
So, like, I've done that. And there's sometimes I actually have something that changes my train of thought.
Right.
Somebody needs help with something. And it's like, okay, that's more important than what I have planned. So, right. Like, and then sometimes I never hear it, and it's like, do I just sit here all day and wait?
Be still and know that I am the Lord. Do I get to pee? All right. Here, we'll keep rolling. Do call Sabbath in the light, and call the Sabbath at the light. Isaiah 58:13. So that's why when I put out Happy Sabbath, that's what I'm doing. Sabbath is the delight. Yeah, so that's why the Happy Sabbath thing, okay? Nice. Right, Happy Sabbath, it's a delight. Do call Sabbath holy and honorable, and the holy of Yahweh and honorable. Isaiah 58:13. We're going to read this whole verse in a second. Mm-hmm. And do honor God on the Sabbath, and shall honor. Isaiah 58:13. See? And so, I tried to break it up so we could focus on each one, right? So, we want to call it delight, we want it to be holy and honorable, and we want to honor God. That's the whole point. So, let's read the whole verse. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth. There's a payoff. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for Yahweh's mouth has spoken it. Amen. Right. And so what is he saying? Give up the things you want. I will give you something better.
Yes.
That's basically it. Lay it down. I'll give you 6 days to have all the things you want.
And you know, when I said to Chad earlier, this is where that I got that, because she sent me this one day. We were talking, and I read it, and I was like, holy cow.
It has to sink in. And once
it did. Works. And once I had those last two Saturdays to just me and God, I was like, I felt more rejuvenated. I got more done on those Sundays.
Right.
Like, it was unbelievable the amount of energy and the, I just felt, whew.
Well, it's crazy how much work it takes to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a pressure in trying to entertain yourself.
Yes.
You know, and to try to do things that you think you enjoy and that you probably do, but there's a lot of pressure behind it. At least there is for me. Mm-hmm. You know, especially trying to fit it in and schedule, and you got all these responsibilities. But when you could just go and drop everything, yes, and go, I'm done. We're not doing it. You know. Okay, key concepts. The following are key concepts to understand how to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. On the seventh day, God finished his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because he rested in it from all his work of creation which he had done. Said work three times. God rested from that. Don't do that, okay? Mm-hmm. And so Sabbath starts on Friday night sunset and ends Saturday night sunset. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning the first day, Genesis 1:5. As you see here, the biblical day starts at sunset and ends at the next sunset. Okay, day of preparation. When evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Mark 15:42. So this is what we talked about. It's Thursday, sundown, to Friday, sundown. That's preparation day, okay? The day before Sabbath, starting at sundown on Thursday night until Friday at sunset. On this day, we are to finish up any work, chores, burdensome cooking. In doing so, we set the stage for a worry-free Sabbath. The goal is to anticipate any needs you might have on Sabbath. Accomplish it beforehand, not unlike preparing to go on vacation. As for me and my family, we do cook food on Sabbath if it is food to be used on Sabbath. We do not cook or heat up food that would be for another time, not even for when after Sabbath ends. Right? So if we're cooking at 7, we won't cook for food at 8 o'clock. Then we have 8 o'clock. We'll wait. Okay? And so Sabbath day's journey, we talked about this earlier. Then they returned to Jerusalem from a mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. Acts 1:12. This is not given by God, but was a tradition. Yes, I would suggest is a good tradition. How restful would Sabbath be if you had to spend the entire day traveling? It wasn't only meant to prevent long trips. I would say it was also to prevent other people from being forced to travel by their masters and rulers. They could say, I can't do that. It's beyond 2,000 paces, thereby freeing them of the burden, forced exertion. There's no rule of thumb for the modern believer. I would keep this key concept in your heart and mind. If traveling great distances on the Sabbath becomes a burden or chore, then it should be avoided on the Sabbath day, especially if you'd have to stop and buy gas, you know. And so basically you have to think about what is become burdensome. Go ahead. You know, okay, so last page, it says the Sabbath song. This is literally called the Sabbath song in the Bible. If you look up in the Psalms 92, mm-hmm, it's called the Sabbath song. This is the one they would read on Sabbath, mm-hmm, or sing.
Who right? wrote it?
I do not know. I could try to find out who wrote Psalms 92. I know you're into that. Sorry, I should have been prepared. I did this, so if you guys wanted, it's all nice and big. I did that so you could put it up on the wall or something if you wanted to. Yeah, so I made it nice and big and easy to hang. Okay, so I'm going to read this. It says, Psalms 92, a song for the Sabbath. Notice the focus on the Sabbath, on the works of God, as God rested and celebrated his work on the Sabbath. It said, It is a good thing to give thanks to Yahweh, to sing praises to your name, Most High, to proclaim your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, with the 10-string lute, with the harp, and with the melody of the lyre. For you, Yahweh, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hand. How great are your works, Yahweh? Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man doesn't know, neither does a fool understand this. Though the wicked spring up as the grass, and all the evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But Yahweh, you, Yahweh, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, Yahweh, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All the evildoers will be scattered, but you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. My eyes has also seen my enemies. My ears have heard of the wicked enemies who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in Yahweh's house. They will flourish in our God's court. They will still produce fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and green to show that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise God. So that there you go. Next week it'll be burden breakers. This was the do list. Next week is the burden breakers or the don't list.
And that's when you get into that.
Yes. Okay. There's actually a question, but I'll just answer it now. Actually.
We can answer next week.
Okay, we'll wait till next week. I'll answer it next week. Awesome. So we're gonna pray, but then we're gonna keep talking. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us. We pray for Melissa Schutte's grandchild. We speak life over that baby. We rebuke the spirit of death. If life has left that baby, we ask that life to return into the child and to start moving immediately in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the devil away. We rebuke all hexes, vexes, curses, or spells in the name of Jesus against that child. We plead the blood of Jesus. We ask for all the blessings of heaven to reside on that child and let it be a special possession for you, Father, to grow up and be a light for you. And so we thank you for allowing us to pray for that child and for all the family, that you provide peace and caring in their hearts and minds. Thank you for our Bible study today. Thank you for allowing us to learn and understand and have open, honest conversations about the good things and the difficulties it is to learn how to keep the Sabbath, Father. But we know that you're faithful, you're kind, you're caring. You have grace and mercy towards us so we can keep moving forward. So we love you very much, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
If you feel so led of the Lord and want to know how to donate to this ministry outreach, please visit brotherlance.com and scroll down to the bottom of the main page for the PayPal link. Thank you, and may God's blessing rest upon you.
Brotherlance.com